I remember talking on doing a webinar about virtual summits, and I was, I think point four was about getting your technology sorted and right. And as soon as I said that, the line went dead. And I was like, "Are you joking?" I couldn't get anybody back. It was a disaster.
Power to Live More with Joe Dodds.
Welcome to the Power to Live More podcast, all about productivity, organisation, well-being, energy and resilience. I'm Jo Dodds and I started this show to enable interesting people to share their stories about how they use their power to live more, and by that I mean to do the stuff that they want to do more than the stuff that they need to or should do. It's about creating a life for yourself where you have the energy, health and space to be happy and fulfilled, spending your time as you'd like, whether that be at work, home or somewhere else entirely. That's your choice.
Hello, my name is Ellie Dodds and I'm co-presenter. And today Jo is interviewing Wendy Kia of Virtual Summits. Jo and Wendy have known each other for a few years online, though their social media efforts, but this is the first time that they've actually spoken. Wendy is known as a leading authority, the go-to virtual summit expert. She's combined her love for working online, bringing technology and her marketing know-how together to monetize online speaking and virtual summits for entrepreneurs and small business owners wanting to get out into the marketplace fast to launch a program, product or service. Wendy believes that everyone has the right to education as it enables people to make smarter, more informed decisions and builds trust and credibility overnight. A gifted dyslexic entrepreneur living in the beautiful city of Brighton with her long-term partner Steve and two cats, Manga and Akira. A British author with over 1,700 students worldwide from 95 different countries. Back to the studio.
Today I'm interviewing Wendy Kia of Virtual Summits. Hello Wendy, great to have you with me.
Hi Jo, it's an absolute pleasure.
Lovely. So start by telling us a bit about you, what you do and where you do it.
Yeah, so I work from the beautiful city in Brighton and I'm very lucky. I now have a home-based office and I have these most amazing views overlooking the city of Brighton and I can literally see for miles, which is really fantastic.
So do you find yourself getting distracted by that lovely view? Then I can see the view, I can see the channel, and sometimes I can even see France from my office window, and I do find myself staring out of the window on occasions.
Oh, that's amazing. What I find is that it's really funny. It gets a bit bright, so I have to have the blind down quite a bit because I'm on the third floor and the sun comes in.
Yeah.
So the best times for me are early in the morning and late in the evening, and I can just sit there and see what's going on outside.
Yeah.
But most of the time I have to have the blind down, otherwise I can't see anything because the sun is so bright. So the views I get in the morning and the evening, but it's lovely to have that. You know, I used to live in London and everything was quite intense and quite claustrophobic, so to have that amount of space and watch the clouds and the changing weather is something I really appreciate.
Yes, yeah. So what do you do from that office then?
So I am an online marketer and I've been doing online marketing for a number of years now, and my focus is on virtual summits. So I work with my clients one-to-one and with online group programs as well to enable entrepreneurs and SMEs to bring together big online events.
So what does that sort of look like? So if I was a client, what would that involve working with you?
Yeah, so not everyone's familiar with virtual summits, especially in the UK. They're pretty big in the States. And what a virtual summit is it is a group of people that come together to talk around a specific subject. So it's a bit like going to a conference, and then you go and pick the different speakers that you want to listen to. The difference with a virtual summit is it's held in the virtual arena, so people will subscribe in through your email list, and then they will access the different interviews or talks that are going on within that event. So in terms of clients, it would be taking them through, and it's like most of what we do within the coaching world, we work backwards with people. So it's identifying the end result that they want to get and the type of people that they want to attract and the product they want to sell at the end of the event, working backwards and then naming the virtual summit to fit in line with what it is they're offering. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And so the sort of work that you're doing then is coaching and quite sort of technical sort of setup and so on. Is that the sort of work that you do?
Yeah, so the one-to-one, it breaks down a couple of different ways. The one-to-one is some people will have a VA and other people within their team, even if it's just an outsourced VA. So some people might just want to get focused in on the strategy. So that will be, you know, what's the product they're offering or the online course that they're offering? What type of speakers do they need? What's the digital setup? So the buyer's got an easy journey. You know, what's the name of the summit? So the one-to-one stuff with the client is figuring all of that out and making sure the buyer's got a very easy journey onto the next level.
Mm-hmm.
The group program is where people come in, and I have a very specific system that I use. So I teach people that system within a group setting online. So, and I do that course twice a year. So people can get the support from one another. It's quite a nurturing group. So people can run their ideas, they can share speakers, make recommendations. So that's, the group is a very different experience.
Yeah. So how do you structure your days? Do you have certain sort of things that happen on certain days and certain sort of types of tasks on different days, or is it all whatever happens? I guess it depends on whether you're running your group program or not as well.
Yeah, I've tried doing different things on different days. I definitely have fixed days in terms of I have different online groups, courses that I run.
Mm-hmm.
So on Tuesday and Thursday, I always have my group calls on a Tuesday and Thursday. And those 2 days are precious for training.
Yeah.
I've tried doing the thing of, you know, only do sales on a Monday or Wednesday, but that never seems to happen because it's just not my thing. And then what I do is those are the most two solid days of the training days.
Yeah.
And then I work on a principle of three. So I only plan for 3 months at a time. My brain can't seem to cope with anything past 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So all my projects fit into 3 months.
Okay.
I have, so it's a 3 month plan, 3 projects, and then I have 3 tasks a day that I work on.
Okay, so talk a bit about how you sort of make that happen, because it sounds quite simple, and I shared with you before we started that I focus on 3 tasks a day as well. I mean, I have lots of other things I need to do, but I make sure if I've got those 3 things done, then, you know, the day's a good one, sort of thing. What I don't do is plan sort of much further ahead than a week. I have big goals in my head, but I don't actually think as specifically as you're doing with, you know, 3 months and 3 projects and so on.
Yeah.
So how does that, how do you make that happen? Because I can just sort of imagine that I could never find 3. They'd always be, you know, more. I'd find 3 and then I'd sneak in more and pretend they weren't projects. They'd be called something else so I could still have them in. So how do you make that work for you?
So again, I work backwards. And so the way I've done it for this first 3 months of 2016,
mm-hmm.
my next live course, it goes out on the 18th of April. So I know to get enough people into that course, there are certain projects that I need to do to get people into the group program. So I know that's going out on the 18th. So I need to get more people into lower price courses. So some of them filter through and go into the group program. So I have run two group programs. So those are my two other little projects. And that's what I focus in on. I focus in on, right, Summit then. I've got to launch those two digital courses then. So there's a reasonable gap between everything.
Yeah.
And that's how I do it. So the first project is, you know, I start planning for that one. It goes out. It's live. It's over. And then I start planning for the next one. Mm-hmm. Some people move across into the new training. And then I start after the second one, I start planning for the summit. And then some people move across into that other training.
Yeah.
So that's how I've done it for the first 3 months of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a challenge the first time round that you're doing that because you've got a lot to create.
Yes.
But, you know, the second and the third time you do that, it's easy because everything's already created. You're just tweaking things and changing things and changing some of your marketing.
And when do you
so
start,
that's how I do it.
Yeah, and when do you start planning for the second 3 months? So presumably there's some sort of overlap so that you sort of kick off the second 3 months on time, otherwise you're spending, you know, another week or two planning it.
It won't be on time, but what I know at the end of those 3 months is I can then go, right, okay, what's worked well, what hasn't worked well, what do I want my next 3 months to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be 100%, you know, right, that's my deadline for the 3 months.
Yeah.
I've just got a rough 3 months.
Yeah.
And then I can make a decision after the next summit course as to what I'm going to do for the next three.
Yeah, okay. And how do you manage that from a sort of tool perspective, a to-do list perspective? How do you make sure you know what you're doing on a daily basis? Obviously, you choose your three tasks, but where are you choosing them from?
I'm choosing them from, so I use Google Documents, and what I do is I have, I think it's called the three-month, you know, the first 3 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then within that folder, I have the three different projects. And then I have the three different projects, but then I have a single sheet that has the key tasks from all of the separate projects on that one page.
Yep.
And I have the deadlines on that page. And I have some tasks on there that I always need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, every day I use that sheet and then I have a look to make sure I'm on track.
Mm.
And I work on priority. Before I did digital marketing, I worked with young people at risk for about 15 years. So I know how to manage, risk is the wrong word, but prioritise things.
Yes.
So I'm really good at prioritising things. So I always do the priorities.
Mm.
The ones that are the most important.
Mm. I think that's a real key skill, isn't it? Prioritizing is so important, and I guess that's where the three tasks piece helps as well, because you are having to prioritize to come up with just the three. Otherwise, you do end up with 15, and then you know which are the most important sort of thing. Yeah, oh, I like that that process.
I think one of the most important things though is that those three main projects have to have a relationship together.
Okay.
Because otherwise, it's one, you know, when you're creating products, you want to create like a family of products that fit into, right, let me get an example. So people who are going to eventually do virtual summits
mm-hmm.
will need to learn about list building. They'll need to learn about email marketing. They potentially might need to know how to create a product. So each of those little baby steps, so the digital product and list building as separate courses, would help people make the decision to do a virtual summit.
Yeah.
So they're interconnected with one another.
Yeah. So that sort of gives a cohesion as far as what you're working on, and I guess they all feed into each other as well. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so every day you're choosing your three tasks. What else do you do in the morning? Have you got a particular routine, and does it vary depending on whether you've got your group calls or whatever happening as well. What does it look like when you get up?
I'm going to have to confess, I'm a bit of a workaholic. So it's actually quite hard to stop me from working. So I have to be really mindful to even do things like eat. And I know I'm not alone on this, because I know a lot of digital marketers, once they get in front of their PC, that is it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't prep them, you can't do anything, ask a question or anything, because once they're on it, you're sort of sucked into this vortex of being in your head.
Yeah.
So routine for me is up. Work. I have to remind myself to eat breakfast before 10 o'clock, otherwise it won't get eaten. When I was growing up, I was used to eating once a day. So I now have to consciously make myself eat 3 times a day. And it's very easy when you're doing stuff on the computer to forget to eat.
I can see that. But to be honest, when I'm procrastinating, eating is one of the things that I like to think about. And I have to force myself not to eat. So you may not want to share this, but it does beg the question why you only had once a day when you were growing up.
The truth is that I was brought up in care and I left very early, so I left at 15 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dyslexic as well. And I didn't understand what money was.
Right.
So I used to, I'd get my doll money and I used to go into the shop and I used to buy one thing at a time.
Right.
And because I didn't have very much money, I learnt to cook one meal a day.
Yeah.
And that has stayed with me for a very, very long time. And it's been a really hard pattern to break.
Yes. Interesting, isn't it, how much things like that continue, as you say, sort of it's like a pattern. And did that help you when you were working with the youngsters that you mentioned you were working with earlier, thinking about the sorts of challenges that they had? I mean, I guess it's a bit of a gap in the system if that went on for so long with you because nobody helped you to do anything different.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, and I still work with young people at risk now, so yeah, absolutely, because once you've got that habit from a very early age, it's very, 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 very difficult to break.
Yeah.
Really, really hard.
Yeah, I was reading something about habits this week. In fact, I think it was the podcast that I published this week, actually, an interview with Faye Watts, podcast 13. And, you know, she was saying about how creating habits are so important and that once you've created them, they take a lot of discipline to create in the first place. But once they're there, they just happen. And I guess, you know, you weren't intending to create that habit, but once you had it, as you say, it was very difficult to change it. Okay, so you have your breakfast, hopefully. Where do you fit in your planning of your 3 tasks, and are there any other sort of routine things you do to sort of kick your day off in the right way?
No, that's it. I'm pretty work focused. I'm very task orientated.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up, I come straight to the computer, start working, see what priorities I've got, then try and remind myself to have breakfast, and then that's it, I'm off.
Yes, yeah. It's interesting with you talking about your prioritising. I get the feeling that you're probably quite able to focus. I mean, some of the conversations that I have with people quite often do revolve around that whole issue of focus, and I think a lot of the things that you've said already during the interview sort of imply that focus probably isn't so much of an issue for you.
Oh, I'm really lucky. Yeah. No, I'm forward thinking. I find it very hard to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it very hard to go over old projects, but I'm constantly moving forward. And so I'm one of those people that's just constantly moving forward rather than going backwards.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really, really useful, and particularly when you're, you know, working on your own and there's so many things that come flying at you, so much potential overwhelm. It sounds like you have a structure without having created one. You just naturally do that.
Yeah. I'm very lucky like that. Yeah.
Okay, so what about the end of the day? Because you talk about being a bit of a workaholic. So I guess the shutting the door at 5 o'clock and leaving your office bit doesn't happen, just like it doesn't happen in my in my house.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I do go out during the day and do other things, and so I do sort of tend to swap and change things around. But it sounds like that you're working sort of pretty solidly. What do you do at the end of the day? How do you sort of close off the work and make sure that you're ready to sleep in the end?
I don't have children. I have a couple of cats, and I live with my partner Steve. His cat is called Akira and my cat is called Manga. So one of the most important things to me is to have a little cuddle with Manga on the sofa.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I really sort of, that's me relaxed. Gosh, this is going to sound a bit strange. That's me relaxing, having a cuddle with my cat, and she's purring.
Yeah.
It's supposed
to be
really good
for your health.
It's supposed to be good, isn't it?
Again, Faye mentioned it in her podcast this week about her cat, so you're not the only one. But I have to tell you a little story about mine. We have two cats, and one of them has just randomly decided to start sleeping in my in tray, and I'm not sure that's because he's trying to get more attention and he thinks that's the route to my attention or what. But I was recording a live radio show last week, and I'd forgotten he was in here, and I'd had some technical issues dialing in, and I literally arrived on the show as the presenter, as the closing the opening jingle played. So it was a bit stressful, and just as I started to speak, he decided to get up and come and join in. So he was sitting on my notes, and he has this tendency that he wants you to cuddle him. He puts his arms around your neck sort of thing, almost like he's really cuddling you back. And if you don't pick him up and you're close enough, he'll try and sort of climb up your body to get into that position.
Ooh.
So I had this horrible feeling that he was going to start trying to climb up, which obviously is quite painful. So I had to stand up and move around the office and move my notes all around the office and basically run away from him whilst doing a live radio show.
That's brilliant.
So on that occasion, I mean, a cat wasn't very relaxing at all, but I do buy into that. I think there's medical evidence that says that even just like stroking cats is very calming, and they talk about how good it is when children have animals for that sort of calming sort of thing. So you don't sound like a mad cat woman at all. You just sound like,
well, I've only got two.
Exactly. Maybe
I'd have more if I could.
Yeah, if you're saying you had 12 of them and it took you all evening to cuddle all of them, then it might sound a bit more strange. But there we go. And your cats, they help you to relax in the evening.
Cats.
Yeah.
I'm very digital. It's really funny. I was reading through these questions before we came on, and I was thinking, oh my God, I don't have any social life whatsoever. So PS4 is my other thing that I love PS4. I love solving problems.
Uh-huh.
And creating things, solving problems. So PS4 is just brilliant for that. So I have PS4. PlayStation 4 helps me relax.
And what do you do with it, not being a PlayStation fan at all?
Yeah, so the game I'm playing at the moment is called Elder Scrolls, and it's, you fight people, but you go into battle, you have tasks, you have challenges, and it's very creative.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a constant learning environment.
Yeah, and do you play that with other people elsewhere? Or is it just yourself on the game?
No, it's just me. Right. It's funny. Steve has a whole team and a whole network of people that he plays with on PS4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't like playing with other people.
You're a solo one? Why would you?
Yeah, I find it a bit confusing as to who's the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite funny, though. If you can imagine, Steve's in one room playing his game with his friends, and I'm in the other room playing my game by myself.
And you text each other and say, can you put the kettle on and things like that?
Well, yes, we do.
We have been known to do that in this house. I do have to really force it sometimes. In our house, we do have a tendency, if I have something where I really need to be in the office, I'll come in the office. Sometimes I try and drag little Dodsy in with me, and she sits on the easy chair in here so that we can spend some time together, you know, even if I've got to do some work. But then my husband will be in his study, and we're a bit like, we must be in the dining room. Just bring your laptops if necessary. And on the odd occasion, I mean, we don't spend all our time working. We do other family things. But we have had three laptops sat up on the dining room table. Mm-hmm. I just think, oh dear, this is sad. But
it's incredible, isn't it? How I was at some illegal rave over in Hackney a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing how many people were just stood there with their mobile phones, phoning what was going on and not really taking part in what was going on. They were so fascinated with their phones and what was happening that I was just, our connection with technology has just changed so much.
Yes, it has. And it's interesting, I was saying to somebody the other day that one of the dads up at the school, whenever he sees me, always makes some sarcastic comment about my phone and being on it all the time and being on Facebook all the time and all this sort of thing. And it's quite interesting because although I do spend a lot of time using technology, and my phone, I think, is, you know, my most used business tool because I can do so much with it and on it and so on. I actually spend a lot of time not on technology doing things, and particularly making that effort to be in the moment. And when he says, you know, you're on Facebook all the time, I might look at it quite a lot, but I don't post very much at all, really just for business stuff. But it's interesting that he has this image of me because he thinks this is what technical people, you know, digital consultants, you know, are like, and it's actually not that true, because I think in some ways I sort of make a real effort to not be on technology as much as I do to be on technology, where, you know, I don't let it sort of overlap as much as everyone might imagine, sort of thing. So
that's good.
Interesting.
That's healthy.
So we talked a bit about Google Docs being a tool that you use. What about other tools or apps that you use that you recommend to people?
I mean, I try a couple of things. I try and keep everything as simple as possible because we have to learn so much all the time. I guess I stick with things that I find really easy to use and I don't have to learn something new.
Mm.
So the other two I really like that make my life easier, the first is Camtasia, and that is a piece of software which I use for my training courses, which allows you to record from your computer slides or anything else that's happening online as well. So basically you can just film what you're doing on your computer.
Yeah.
That tool is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I've used that in the past. And, the other, I'm trying to think, is TechSmith it comes from, isn't it?
TechSmith, that's it.
Snagit, which I use for screen prints, and you can do little videos on that as well. So that's one of the other tools. I think their newsletters are quite good as well about the sorts of things that you can do.
I've never seen one, but I bet they are. I should imagine they are.
Cool. And you said there's another tool?
Yeah. Well, this is for accounts. It's called Crunch. And, you know, I historically had a bookkeeper, but Crunch is brilliant because I can just upload all of my accounting, whether it's receipts or different projects that I have going. And I found Crunch saves me a lot of time. And plus it just enables me to keep an eye on my my ingoings and outgoings, so I know exactly where I am in the here and now.
Yes, yeah.
So I love Crunch as well.
I've never heard of Crunch before. It's interesting. I was saying to you before, wasn't I, that we keep getting so many new sort of tools and recommendations from people as the podcast goes along, and I keep expecting there to be lots of overlap. But here's a yet another tool that I've never heard of.
Yeah, I wish I'd had Crunch from the start of my business. I think I would have been much more clued up around the finances of business,
right?
Because it's not my area of expertise. So Crunch has really helped.
Excellent. And any others?
None that spring to mind. I just try and keep it really simple. Google Docs is what I use. most of the time. And also because you can get Microsoft online now as well, in terms of, I think one of the important things for me, and I think that's why Google Docs is so good and why Microsoft is now better, is that I like to be able to use things across different PCs.
Yes.
So no matter where I am in the globe, I can access my information and, you know, what it is I'm up to and the training resources. Mm. I'm not stuck to the office.
No, exactly. It's funny, I use Google Docs a bit, but I still do use the Microsoft suite, although I have Office 365, so it's, you know, very available. But I'm not very organised with my Google Docs, and I sometimes can't find things because I've sort of ad hoc set things up, and it's something that I probably do need to go and organise, because I do like to be able to find things quickly. But I do find that it's the thing that's so easy and quick to get to. You know, you're in your browser, you might as well just look at that document rather than having to go to your files and open your document, you know, if it's Word or Excel or whatever. So it's interesting that I'm using it just because it's easier, but I've never really thrown myself into it when actually, you know, it is so convenient, as you say.
I like, one of the things I like about it is you can give someone the link and then you can keep it as a working document.
Yeah.
So you just give them the link and then you don't have to keep sending emails backwards and forwards with changes and amendments.
No, exactly.
But I think Microsoft is probably like that now, though, isn't it? Because it's, you can invite different people, teams, and
And of course, if you use Dropbox, then it sort of doesn't matter what you're
using
it anyway. So So changing the subject.
Dropbox
back to, oh, sorry. Say again. Dropbox.
Yeah, no. Dropbox is a brilliant tool.
Yes. Yeah. Something that I've realised just how much I use, because I've been trying to organise my folders and files in the last couple of weeks, and I just realised how much rubbish there is on there that I've saved over the last however long. So, but I can access it on all my devices, however much it's rubbish.
You see, there is this thing, isn't there? And I know Nicola Cancross and Judith Morgan were talking about it the other week, about we invest all this time and money in learning something. It's sometimes better just to stay with what we've invested all that time and money in learning, rather than just moving across to something new because it's a little bit cheaper.
Yes, definitely. That was when, I think, when they were talking about Infusionsoft and Nicola saying that she'd found another tool, which I can't remember the name of, but she said, you know, she really liked it, and if she was starting again, she might go with that, but she just couldn't go through the sort of transition. And it's interesting. Yeah. I keep listening to podcasts that talk about a to-do app called Nosby, and I'm so tempted to try it out, but I'm a lover of Todoist. That's what I use to manage my tasks, and I just know that through my history that I'd go to Nosby and start setting it all up, and I'd spend, you know, hours and days and weeks setting it up, and actually my time would be best spent continuing to use Todoist and actually just getting the tasks done that are already on there, not not creating a whole new one about moving to a new platform. So yeah, I agree. So that's, you know, I've developed on. Years ago, I had a team member who said to me, if I was as efficient with my actually getting work done as I was with organising myself, I'd be brilliant. So I took that to heart, and I've worked very hard on actually doing important things rather than just organising myself ever since.
Brilliant.
So changing the subject again to thinking about being healthy, what sort of things do you do to keep yourself healthy? You said you have to make sure you eat, so that's good. What else?
Yeah. And it's not even a joke. I really do have to remind myself to eat, and it's things like not eating processed food. So I cook things from scratch. I always have porridge in the morning, porridge with nuts or some other sort of fruit, and one of the things I did after Christmas, and it's in a box set somewhere in the front room, is I bought a little DVD set called Slim in Six,
right,
which is an exercise workout. So I have to consciously just remind myself to eat healthily and do the Slim in Six thing when I remember to do it. So
yeah, you see, here's where your issue is. It should be in three, shouldn't it? So you don't do six.
Yeah, it might should. Yeah, that maybe that's why I'm not doing as much as I should be doing it. It's six. Out of alignment.
So it's generally that 6 minutes, is it?
No, it's I'm slim in 6 weeks. It's actually really good.
6 weeks. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But isn't it typical that it's a DVD on the TV?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to the gym or walking in the park. I've just got a DVD which I can put in my PS4.
I was going to say, it had to be the PS4 as well. Well, there you go, perfect. Lovely.
Yeah, so
and what
try
about,
and eat well.
Yeah. And what about keeping your energy levels up for all this work?
I haven't got an answer to that one. I just stick to trying to remind myself to eat fruit. I eat quite a bit of fruit now. Sleeping's important, and then exercise when I remember to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to say I have the healthiest lifestyle on the planet. I don't, but I think this is the reality for a lot of people that who do digital stuff in front of their computer.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not alone.
Yeah, I don't think you are. I think that's some of the characteristic of wanting to do that sort of work as well, I guess, is a certain type of person with a certain sort of lifestyle and so on. Yeah. So what about learning and improving yourself? I know you've gone through some sort of transitions in your business over the last couple of years. So how do you learn? How do you make those changes?
So I am one of these people, I don't read, not very often. I've got quite a few books which I've never read, or I've started them and I've never finished them. So I generally tend to learn by doing, which is a bit silly really, because the books have got all the answers. People have done it before you, but hey-ho. I generally tend to do things and learn from the experience. So I'm very much a hands-on type of person.
Yeah.
I watch... I do, although I'm not doing it as much as I used to do. You know, if I want to learn about a particular subject, I'll buy a course online or I'll watch videos online. But I've stopped doing that now as well. So I think my head's just a bit full of everything. So it's having a bit of a breathing space.
Yeah.
Then it will find another way to learn. But pretty much hands-on. Pretty much learn by doing.
Yes, yeah. And maybe you just don't need to learn those other things at the moment. Again, going back to, you know, conversations that I've had with people, and I think Nicola and Judith on their podcast, which is called Own It, have talked about you end up sort of buying lots of stuff, or, you know, watching lots of stuff, or reading lots of stuff, or, you know, sort of trying to learn all the time, and actually it just sort of distracts you from doing, and it can be a bit of a procrastination tactic sometimes as well, can't it?
I do sometimes think oh, I should really read something.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, clearly if you don't want to, then you shouldn't need to. Perhaps there's another route.
Anyway.
Somebody's obviously giving you a guilt trip about not reading. You don't need to.
Yeah. It's the thing of, you just have to nurture your personality, don't you, I guess.
Yeah.
And my thing is learn by doing.
Yeah.
As much as I sit here thinking I should read more, I know I'm not going to do it.
No, exactly. Well, it's like me. I've said before, I don't like making videos very much, even though I know that they're really helpful for YouTube and SEO and all that sort of thing. And I actually don't watch them that often either, because I just haven't got time to just give something my attention. So podcasts I love, because you can listen to them while you're doing other things. But you know, apart from maybe when I'm doing my accounts, I don't watch videos online because I just don't have the time, and I can't watch those things and think and write at the same time. So, you know, there is a limited opportunity, even though there's tons of great stuff out there, you know, all the TED Talks and, you know, lots of the stuff that come out when people do launches and stuff. And I have all these great ideas to watch them and put them into a folder to give me a chance to catch up with things, and I never do. So, as you say, I think you have to work out what works for you in your personality and your lifestyle, and then focus on that and drop the guilt on everything else.
Yeah, I need to learn that lesson, drop the guilt.
So what about if things don't go right, if you have a day that isn't quite the one that you were planning? You only do two of your today, three things, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, today we had some
this morning.
Yes. Well, you seem to cope with that well. So what do you do?
I think whatever it is, you've got to be honest in the moment of what's happening. So, you know, Joe, you were very patient. It took me 40 minutes to get set up today for lots of different reasons, which is very unusual. But I think if you're honest with people, and you're honest with yourself with what's happening, and you can recover as quickly as possible, so you put the next step in place in as quickly as possible, so you're not beating yourself up or, you know, you're not stuck in the moment.
Mm.
Just move forward. Just move past it. But honesty is big in my books.
Absolutely. And I think it's about sort of relationships and communication. And, you know, I sometimes have issues with people, like we had this morning, where, you know, there's an issue with technical stuff and you know, I'm waiting for it to be resolved or 40 whatever.
40 minutes.
but the thing is, you know, I don't sit here for 40 minutes tapping my fingers thinking, where is she, or any of those other things. I've got so much else to do that I just get on with. And I remember you said something like, a minute just seems like the longest time. And of course, when I'm busy doing something else, it doesn't at all. It's just a normal amount of time. But you always think, especially when you can't see the person, that they're like sitting there waiting and it's awful. And when in fact, you know, people are quite happy to go along with whatever while things are being resolved. But as you say, as long as they know, you know, that somebody's trying to deal with something or what the situation is. And I think that, you know, that's the case in, you know, in lots of situations, real life situations as well. If you communicate with people and you're honest and they know that you're, you know, trying your hardest or whatever, then that goes a long way, doesn't it? So,
I think it really does go a long way. I think, because you can tell, can't you, when people are like porcupines.
Yes. Yeah. I do. It does always make me laugh, though, as I said to you before, when two technical people have technical issues. Our computers don't give us an easy time, do they?
No. It's so embarrassing. I remember talking on doing a webinar about virtual summits, and I think point four was about getting your technology sorted and right. And as soon as I said that, the line went dead. And I was like, you've got to be joking. I couldn't get anybody back. It was a disaster.
Computers, you see, they do know what we're doing, really. They do. They say artificial intelligence isn't quite here yet, but I reckon it's been here for a long time. So on a day when you end the day knowing that you've had the chance to live more, so, you know, done things that you wanted to do rather than the things you felt you should do or you have to do, what have you done? What does that day look like?
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not sure I've quite mastered it yet, but I would like to think that, you know, that you're the people that I'm working with are ultimately satisfied at the end of the day, and that they know I'm there for them to succeed. And it's little things like, you know, I haven't had to work my butt off during the day, and I'm in flow and as much present as I can possibly be. And that means not being so much in my head.
Yeah.
Because I do very much get stuck in my head with thinking and not necessarily seeing what's around me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's about having that cuddle with my little manga and chilling out and relaxing.
Yeah.
But simple things, really.
Yes, yeah. Lovely, I agree. Thank you. It's been brilliant interviewing you. Really, really enjoyed finding out about what you do and how you do it. So how can people find out more about you and connect with you?
Yeah, so if they want to find more out about getting clients online, there's www.getclientsonline.co.uk. Or if anybody wants to find out about virtual summits, my online training programs are at www.virtualsummits.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you, Wendy. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Joe. It's been an absolute pleasure. Joe's Jams.
This is the part of the show where I do a recap of the key points of the interview, the stuff that I really liked and the apps, books, music, tips and tools that were shared. This is for you if you heard something that you want to check out but you couldn't write it down at the time. Hopefully I've got you covered. And this is the bit for the really time-pressed. You can just listen here and get the gems from the interview. But of course I wouldn't suggest you do that and miss out on the great conversation that I had with Wendy. Wendy joked that she doesn't have a social life and that she loves her PS4, her PlayStation 4. She said she likes solving problems and creating things and that the PS4's brilliant for that. And she's currently playing a game called Elder Scrolls, where you fight people, go into battle, have tasks and challenges. She says it's very creative and it's like a constant learning environment. So really good use of the PlayStation to learn things as well as to have some fun playing a game. Wendy uses Camtasia for creating her training courses, which I've used in the past as well. So it allows you to record from your computer on the screen, and you can just film whatever you're doing. And it's a really good tool for creating instructional videos using PowerPoint or using just the tool that you're trying to demonstrate on your computer. And then Wendy recommended something for accounts, which I've never heard of before, which is called Crunch. And she said she did have a bookkeeper in the past, but with Crunch it's so good that she just keeps it up to date herself. And she said that it saves a lot of time for her and just really helps her keep an eye on what's going on financially within her business. And she says actually that she wishes she'd known about Crunch right at the beginning of her business journey. And then we just mentioned briefly Dropbox, which we both use, and she said that it's a brilliant tool for storing documents and files online and syncing it to your various devices. Wendy talked about a DVD set that she bought at Christmas when she was talking about her health and exercise. It's called Slim in Six, and she said it's an exercise workout that enables you to work on your weight and how you look, I guess, over a period of 6 months. We did laugh that it doesn't fit into her rule of three, so maybe that's why she doesn't do it as often as she'd like. In common with lots of the podcast guests, Wendy does try and use theme days. She definitely has fixed days for her online groups and the courses that she runs on a Tuesday and a Thursday, although she did say that she doesn't use the technique entirely. Her really interesting information around planning was, as I've mentioned already, the principle of three. So she said she plans for only 3 months at a time and make sure that her projects fit into that time scale. And then she has, on top of that 3 month plan, she then has three tasks a day that she specifically works on, and she works backwards. So she starts with what she wants to achieve. And in this case, she's talking about her live summit, which goes out on the 18th of April. And so she works back from that date, fitting in what she needs to do within those 3 months. And then she sets up Google Docs, and she has one that's called the first 3 months or something like that, as she said. And she has the three different projects, and then she has a sheet that has all the tasks for all the projects on one page and deadlines included and some of the tasks there. And every day she takes that sheet, looks at what she needs to do to keep her on track, and then plans in those three tasks for the day. So I thought that was quite an interesting way of doing planning in a sort of shorter period of time and making sure, you know, you keep to track by only focusing on three things. We mentioned a bit about product planning, and Wendy talked about when you're creating products, you want to have a family of products that all fit together. So she used the example of having a virtual summit, and then people that are going to learn about virtual summits want to learn about list building, and they need to learn about email marketing, and they need to perhaps learn about how to create a product. So Wendy creates products for each of those areas, which then feed into the main virtual summit product. She talked about being forward thinking and saying she finds it very hard to go backwards and to go over old projects, but she's constantly moving forward. I thought it was interesting that she didn't see that as a negative, that she doesn't go back and review old projects. She actually sort of sees it positively, that she's constantly moving forwards so that she, you know, gets things done and plans and gets on to the next thing. We talked about sticking with things, and we mentioned Nicola Cairncross and Judith Morgan's podcast, which is called Own It, and how they were talking about we invest all our time and money in learning something, and then sometimes another sort of shiny object comes along that might replace whatever this thing is that we've already learnt how to use. And so sometimes we sort of jump off to the new thing and then spend more time and money learning how to use the new thing, and actually sometimes it might be worth just staying with the existing tool, even if it's perhaps slightly more expensive than the new product, because by the time you've spent all that time and money learning the new one, you know, it doesn't help you because it's cost you time and money. Whereas if you'd stayed with what you'd got, then even if you're paying a little bit more, it won't cost you as much to do that. And they also talked about learning and using learning as a sort of way of procrastinating, that there's so much stuff that you could learn all the time and read and so on, that it sort of distracts you from doing things, and it can be a bit of a procrastination tactic. And I've certainly listened to a podcast recently where they were talking about just-in-time learning, which is, you know, there's so many things you could learn, but you don't need to learn until you need it. And so the idea is that you think when something comes up that you don't know how to do, or that you need to be able to move forwards in your business, then you learn whatever that small thing is, or that it could be a big thing, but you know, you learn that then, rather than learning lots of things as you go along for the time when you might possibly need them in the future, which means that, you know, you're able to spend more time on the actual doing of the things that you need to do, rather than spending time either learning things you don't need yet, or feeling guilty that you're not reading and learning things, because, you know, if you don't need them, you don't need to do it now. And then finally, to contact Wendy, you can go to her website, which is getclientsonline.co.uk. Or if you want to find out more about her virtual summits and her online training programs, then you can go to virtualsummits.co.uk. As ever, all the show notes are available if you go to the website and go to powertolivemore.com/16.
Use your power to live more.
All this information is available on the show notes.
Hang on a minute. You do the intros, I do the outros. So, all the information is available on the show notes on the website, powertolivemore.com/16. If you'd like to sign up to get my weekly newsletter with more tips, strategies, ideas and tools to improve your power, you can do that on the website too. And if you go to powertolivemore.com/focus, you can download my free report about how to increase your focus for better productivity. Again, the link for this show is
powertolivemore.com/16.
And we look forward to speaking to you next time.